Thank you, Lisa. Really appreciated that music. It's really soothing and definitely appropriate. Brother, once again, welcome to Sabbath services. And if you're looking for a title for my message, I've titled this message, I Pledge Allegiance to the Lamb. I Pledge Allegiance to the Lamb. You know, this coming Tuesday, July the 4th, our nation will celebrate its birthday. It's a day of celebration, but also a day of declaration. And as we look at this time, we need to remember that July the 4th is about so much more than just cookouts, cooking hot dogs, and fireworks. The 4th of July is about a country that's founded, rooted, and believe it or not, established on Christian principles. So in keeping with the tradition, I want us to remember some of the words of our founding fathers and what they said in this regard. So I've put together a few quotes that's appropriate. The first one here is from Patrick Henry. It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. The next one is from George Washington's farewell address to the nation. It says, "Do not let anyone claim tribute of American patriotism if they attempt to remove religion from politics." Interesting. I know this may be a little bit hard to read, but the next one is from President Thomas Jefferson and his address to the Danbury Baptists. It says, the First Amendment has created a wall of separation between church and state, but that wall is a one-directional wall. It keeps the government from running the church, but it makes sure that Christian principles will always stay in government. John Adams. We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions, unbridled by morality and religion. Our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. It's hard to believe these words. I mean, is it true today? Is it true today? You know, so you can see that despite what modern politicians, the contemporary media, or the history revolutionists say, America was founded not on the concept of freedom to worship, but on the freedom to worship Jesus Christ. So today in the time that I have, I want to do is to look briefly at the parallel between our founding fathers' allegiance to this country and our allegiance to the Lamb, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. First, we'll look at them, the patriots, and then we'll look at us, the Christians. So, look at the patriots. The patriots. The first thing is, they made a bold declaration. The patriots made a bold declaration. For more than 14 months after the battle at Lexington and Concord, in April the 19th, 1775, the patriots fought not for their independence, but rather they fought for their rights within the British Empire, rights that had been gradually taken away before and even more after the Boston Tea Party, and hundreds of Americans gave their lives to regain these rights. 400 alone died at the Battle of Bunker Hill. It was during this time of conflict that Patrick Henry, the fiery politician from Virginia, gave his famous speech before the Virginia Provisional Convention. And here's the way that he concluded that speech. I quote, 3 million people armed in the holy cause of liberty and in such a country as that which we possess are invincible by any force which our enemy can send against us. Besides, sir, we shall not fight our battles alone. There is a just God who presides over the destiny of nations and who will raise up friends to fight our battles for us. Battle, sir, it is not the strong alone. It is to the vigilant, the active, the brave. Besides, sir, it is now too late to retire from the contest. There is no retreat but in submission and slavery. Our chains are forged. Their clanking may be heard on the plains of Boston. The war is inevitable, and let it come. I repeat, sir, let it come. It is in vain, sir, to extenuate the matter. Gentlemen may cry peace, peace, but there is no peace. The war has actually begun. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle? What is that gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Unquote. Then early in the summer of 1776, a meeting of the Continental Congress on July the 2nd, 1776, the colonies voted to announce and declare that they would accept nothing less than the absolute freedom from England. 2 days later, on July 4th, after making some minor adjustments to the text, the final wording was ratified and signed by the 56 members representing the 13 colonies. John Adams, who was a member of the drafting committee, was so excited with the vote on July the 2nd that he wrote his wife back in Massachusetts a letter stating, and I quote, it says, "The 2nd of July, 1776, will be the most memorable day in the history of America. I believe it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as a great anniversary festival with shows, games, sports, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of the country to the other, from this time forward and forevermore." Understand this was a bold declaration. In it, the Americans were challenging the most powerful empire in the world at that time. And the Americans entered the war without a navy or without an army. Their fighting forces consisted of only defend their homes and families when danger threatened. And the colonies could call up militiamen for service ranging from a few days to a few months. On the other side, England had an army of well-trained, highly disciplined soldiers. They made a bold declaration, and they had prolonged their life and their allegiance to their country. So moving on, they paid a high price. They paid a high price. After the Americans declared their independence, they had to win it by force. They had to win it by force. The task proved especially difficult, partly because the people never really fully united behind the war effort. A large number of colonists, about a third, remained unconcerned about the outcome of the war, and they supported neither side. As many as a third of the population actually sympathized with Great Britain and they called themselves loyalists. And the name, the Patriots called them Tories. The name of the political group in Great Britain that adamantly supported the king. And these problems meant that victory in the Revolutionary War depended on the Patriots, who made up less than a third of the entire population. 7,200 Americans were killed in the battle during the war. 8,200 were wounded, and 10,000 died from disease and exposure. Nearly 3,000 men alone died in Valley Forge. An additional 6,500 men died in prison after being captured, and 1,400 soldiers were listed as missing. So what about the 56 who originally signed the Declaration of Independence? Did they pay a price for signing their allegiance? They sure did. They did. Their conviction resulted in untold sufferings for themselves and their families. Of the 56 men, 5 were captured by the British and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons in the Revolutionary Army. Another 2 were captured. 9 of the 56 fought and died from wounds of hardship of the war. Carter Braxton of Virginia, a wealthy planter and trader, saw his ships being sunk by the British Navy. And what did he do? Well, he sold his home and his properties to pay his debts, and he died in poverty. At the Battle of Yorktown, the British General Cornwallis had taken over Thomas Nelson's home for his headquarters. Nelson quietly ordered George Washington to open fire on his own home. The home was destroyed. Nelson died bankrupt. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside as she was dying. Their 13 children fled for their lives. His fields were destroyed. For over a year, he lived in forests and he lived in caves on the run, returning home only to find that his wife had died. And his children, they'd vanished. A few weeks later, he died of exhaustion. And now it's one thing to make a bold declaration in the comfort of the congressional meeting, but it's quite a different thing to, you know, to fulfill that declaration on the field of battle, to pay with blood. Yours, your family's, and your neighbor's blood. Our founding fathers, brethren, made a bold declaration, and they paid with a high price. But they reaped a great reward. They reaped a great reward. The war that began on April the 19th, 1775, officially ended when the Treaty of Paris was signed in 1783, nearly 2 years after the Great Battle of Yorktown, where 10,000 troops laid down their arms and General Cornwallis hid in a cave. The Americans made a bold declaration. They paid a high price, and they reaped a great reward. They won their freedom, their independence, and a particularly kind of nation was established. A nation where every human being could be free and have something to say about how they were governed. But not only did the Patriots win their freedom, but at the Treaty of Paris in 1783, the U.S. territory doubled in size as Britain gave the new nation all the land to the east of the Mississippi. The Patriots, they made the pledge, they paid the price, they reaped the reward. Freedom, a new land, a new country, a bright future and a new beginning. This is what our country was founded on. Let's change things over a bit and look at the Christian. Well, just like the Patriots, we too made a bold decision. Each and every one of us, we have made a bold decision. If you're here today and you call yourself a Christian, then you too have made a bold declaration. Do you remember the day when you stood before Christ proclaiming your desire to be a Christian, to be united with Christ, to be bathed in His blood, and courageously announcing that nothing but absolute independence from the shackles of sin and its ways of this world would be acceptable? Do you remember, brethren, the day when you repented of your sins and were buried with Christ in baptism and were raised to live a new life? And in doing this, brethren, we were making a bold declaration. We were, brethren, at this time pledging our allegiance, our devotion, our loyalty, and our dedication, our commitment, our very way of life to the Lamb of God, to Jesus Christ. Let's understand that we were at that time proclaiming what Paul had proclaimed in Galatians 2 and verse 20. Galatians 2 and verse 20. Galatians 2 and verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loves me and gave himself for me. You know, it's a very bold declaration to say that we will no longer live for ourselves, that we will no longer seek our will for our lives, that we will no longer live for the things of this world, its power, pleasure, popularity, and possessions, but rather that we will seek God's will for our own lives, seeking to do what pleases Him far above what pleases us, declaring that He comes first, declaring that God and Jesus Christ come first. And that is a very bold declaration to say that we will live for Him who died for us. And if we're here today and a Christian, we've made that declaration. And we're here today because we made a pledge. We pledge allegiance to the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, our elder brother. This declaration is as bold and as powerful as the one that Joshua made in Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15. Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15. You know, God's people had conquered the promised land and were beginning to settle down. Joshua 24, beginning in verse 14, we'll read verse 14 and 15. Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. You know, when we came to Christ, when we pledged our allegiance to the Lamb, we were making a bold declaration. And people see it around us. People see it around us. So, moving on. Like the Patriots, we must too pay a high price. Like the Patriots, we must also pay a high price. It comes with that declaration. You know, it's one thing to make a bold declaration, but it's quite another to live up to it, to pay the price, to fulfill that declaration on the battlefields of our daily lives. And they are battlefields. Most times, saying words is the easy part. You know, it's easy to say what we're going to do. The actions that follow that are much tougher. And on that day when Joshua made his bold declaration, he wasn't alone. Others also did. And they said the same words. We see in Joshua 24, verses 16 and verse 18. Joshua 24, verse 16 and verse 18. Then the people answered, "Far be it for us to forsake the Lord and serve other gods." And verse 18, "We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." You know, what a declaration. What a declaration by the nation of Israel. They were pledging their allegiance to God. But tragically, it didn't last long. It didn't last long. All you have to do is turn over the page in the book of Judges, and you'll see the recorded how God's people quickly turned away from him. Moving on to Judges 2, verses 11 and 12. Judges 2, verses 11 and 12. Judges 2, verses 11 and verse 12. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshiped various gods of the peoples around them. You understand, wars are not won by those who only make declarations, who only make claims, who only speak words. Victory is seldom achieved by those who only lift their voices. You know, unfortunately, we who are in Christ's army find, just like the Patriots found in the American Revolution, that our war, for many reasons, it's hard to win. It's hard to win. For one, in our bold declaration that we're challenging an empire that is very powerful. We're declaring war against the rulers, the authorities, and the power of this dark world. We are taking a stand against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And there are real battles to be fought. Real battles to be fought, and real struggles to overcome. And we are called in Scripture to finish the race. We are called to fight the good fight. We are called to endure hardships like a good soldier. Brethren, yes, we are in a real war. And we have a real enemy. And he doesn't like it when someone opposes, when someone challenges or defies him. Our enemy, Satan, will attack us, will pursue us, tempt us, and he'll try to make sin look very good, very pleasing. He will at times come at us head on, just like a roaring lion. And at other times, he'll appear as an angel of light, our best friend. So, brethren, let's make no mistake about it. Make no mistake about it that there is a high price to pay to fulfill our declaration that Jesus Christ is our Lord. Our God demands total, unswerving alliance and allegiance, and that the fact that he does is no secret. Jesus made this clear to us when he walked on the earth. Let's look in Luke 9, verses 23 through 26. Luke 9, verses 23 through 26. Luke 9, beginning in verse 23. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Let's continue as we turn to Luke 14. We're going to read verses 25 through 27 and then skip down to verse 33. Luke 14, verses 25 through 27, and then also verse 33. Luke 14, beginning in verse 25. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciples. And in verse 33, any of you who does not give up everything, he cannot be my disciple. That is as clear as it gets. It's as clear as it gets. And there are also severe warnings in Scripture about those who merely make the declaration, who speak only words, who only make the claim. We see Luke 7, verse 21 through 23. Luke 7, verses 21 through 23. Luke 7, beginning in verse 21. Luke 7, beginning in verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Titus 1 and verse 16. Titus 1 and verse 16. Titus 1 and verse 16. I'll go ahead and read it. It says, they claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for anything good. That's Titus 1 and verse 16. What is it that gets in the way of people keeping from and fulfilling their declaration? What is it? You know, most meant it when they gave it, and they had good intentions. So what is it that gets in the way? Well, the answer can be found in just one word. Just one word. Self. Self. You know, we get in the way of our pride, our opinion, our desires, our comfort, our convenience, our will, and our way. Many will say that I pledge allegiance to the Lamb of God, but in reality, The allegiance is still to self. And that's why Jesus said that he must pick up our cross and deny self daily in order to be his disciples. To the people in Jesus' day, picking up one's cross meant only one thing, death. It only meant one thing, which is death. And, you know, I believe that Christ, the Son of the living God, is our Savior and Lord. And that's a bold declaration. We all have said this. And to pick up our cross daily, to deny self, to die to self, is a high price to pay. But the reward that we reap is a great one. It's a great one, and it's worth it. It's worth our eternal life. So the next step is we reap a great reward. We reap a great reward. We reap a great reward. There's a few scriptures here that I'm just going to read. I will, John 8, verse 32. John 8, verse 32, and they're up on the screen. John 8, verse 32, it says, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Also, John 8, 36. John 8, 36. "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." You will be free indeed. That's John 8, verse 36. And then Romans 8, 1. Romans 8 and verse 1. Romans 8, verse 1. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus, or in Christ Jesus." Romans 8 and verse 1. I've got a couple more scriptures here. Romans 8 and verse 18. Romans 8 and verse 18. Romans 8 verse 18 states, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us." And then 1 Peter 1 verses 3 and 4. 1 Peter 1 verses 3 and 4. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. "He has given us new birth into a living hope, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you." Brethren, this is a great and wonderful reward. Not only will they win their freedom, freedom from sin, death, and condemnation, which is no small thing, but a particular kind of church will be established where all people can come to know Christ, a place where the good news will be preached, where freedom will be proclaimed to those in captivity, a place where the burdened and the oppressed will be released, a place of hope for the hopelessness, a place of joy despite circumstances, a place of love, forgiveness, healing, and acceptance, a place of new beginnings. And that's not all. That's not all. One day we will reap what is perhaps the greatest reward and blessing of all. One day we will stand before God and all his glory, and receive the crown of life. We will receive the crown of life, which he gives to those who love him and long for his coming. And it's going to be great when we hear those most precious words of the ages, where it says, Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Come and share your master's happiness. Just absolutely wonderful words. They're just so peaceful. And we will, in our new body, join Christ as he returns to set up the kingdom here on earth. You'll join me in Revelation 7. Revelation 7, we're going to read verses 9 through 17. Revelation 7, verses 9 through 17. Revelation 7, beginning in verse 9. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." And then moving on to verse 13. Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." And then in verse 15. Verse 15. "Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Brethren, the declaration is bold. The declaration is bold. The price is high, but the reward is great. The kingdom of God. We must remember the ones who have fought to make this mighty land that we live in free. Never forget. Never forget how it started out. We must also remember, brethren, that our own declaration that we have made to pledge allegiance to the Lamb.